Welcome to today's episode of Lexicon. I'm Christopher McFadden, contributing writer for Interesting Engineering. Today, we sit down with Xichao Ding, a postdoctoral researcher at UC San Diego, to explore how his team's innovative electronic finger wrap is revolutionizing health monitoring by analyzing biomarkers from fingertip sweat and generating its own power, all without the need for invasive procedures. But before getting into today's episode, we'd like to talk about IE subscription plans. Interesting Engineering's exclusive membership allows you to access all content without ads. You'll receive our premium newsletter, Blueprint Weekly, special discounts from our IE Academy shop, and webinars. To discover more premium features, visit the link in the description, and then enjoy the advantages of IE Plus for $1 only a month for your first month. Now let's continue with today's episode. Xichao, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
Yeah, good. Hi.
Hello. For our audience's benefit, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and what art piece?
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Xichao Ding. I'm a postdoc in the University of California, San Diego. And I'm working with Professor Joseph Fung. Now, most focus on the wearable device. And actually, my background is from the chemistry, material science, you know. I have a PhD with mechanical engineering. And now I'm trying to work on the wearable device that can totally integrate it, you know, from the all my past background research. I will focus on the, you know, sensors, energy device, and the material science, the innovations, and also some kind of nanofabrications, everything together combined with this new EE background to fully integrate it as a wearable device for the human healthcare. Yeah, so this is my current focus on, and this is my interest, yeah.
Many hats you've been wearing then. So with your device then, what inspired you and your team to develop the electronic finger wrap to monitor the vital chemical levels from fingertip sweat?
Thank you. Yeah, so as we know, some kind of the current biomedical device to monitoring the health, the human health status, such like the glucose, such like the glucose meters, the continuous glucose monitoring, this kind of wearable device, it's typically need to the skin, the penetrations, right? You need to collect the blood samples, and you need to get a lot of painful from that for the frequent testing. Based on this, we think we can do some kind of non-invasive and continuous and the some kind of easy method for directly monitoring the biomarkers. And that can... Yeah, this is the things we inspired for develop an electronic, finger wrap, the wearable device, and also why we need to find a place to want to work at the fingertip. The things is we noticed that there are lots of the sweat glands on the fingertips that can totally generate a lot of sweat for you to analyze this, and you don't need to have the blood draws. You can this can provide very frequently. Where real-time health related biomarkers monitoring, and also you don't need any very complicated lab equipment, and so yeah, this is easy to directly test biomarkers from sweat, and the blood flows can samples very non-invasively. So we try to you develop this kind of thing to make it a different thing to give it the revolutions compared to the current medical device.
Yeah, especially for diabetics because they tend to you have to kind of draw off a bit of blood, don't you? For diabetes,
yes. Yes.
It freaks me out when I see that. Yeah, that's definitely a benefit, uninvasive. Yeah, something that surprised me is, how sweaty the fingertips are, really. I always assumed the face made the most sweat, but fingertips creates a lot that I didn't realize. Is there any reason for that? Do we know why biologically do that?
We try to. We try to develop this kind of the device that can, non-invasively. We want to reduce the painful for the users, and this is our aim. Most things is want to, replace the traditional device. Yeah. I'm not sure. This is totally answer your questions, but yeah, I think if you have the small detail things, we can continue discuss this.
Fine. Something I haven't quite worked out is the device generates its own power, right, from the sweat that it's sampling or testing. How does that, we can come on to a bit later how it works, but how does that differ from other energy harvesting technologies?
Okay. Yeah. Like our device using the biofuel cell to generate the energies. And this is, you know, directed power is from the biofuels, the compounds from the sweat. And, you know, yeah, we, like our papers, we're using the lactate at the fuels and also oxygens from the sweat at the fuel to directly generate the energy. And we are sampling the energy, collected, storage in the flexible bearing. And this is using for the long-term extended working for the device to help for the electronics continue working. And this is a little different to from others' energy harvesting technologies, but, you know, like others current, so some kind of the harvesting the technology need to rely on the mutations or the strong exercise, right? Like the trio bioelectric, the, some of the piezos energy harvester, they need movement, exercise, and you need to give the investment before you get the energy. But for ours one, yeah, we get the energy very passively, right? We directly collect the bell chemical, the energies, you know, from sweat, you can under the rest, you can, you know, as they for in sleep. So every time, every day, the whole time, on whatever you are on the beach work or whatever you are under rest, everything so we can directly get energy. Even though in the sleep, we call this is a dream of power.
Yeah, of course. So it works, you say passive BS, you don't have to move. So it could be recording all the time when you're asleep,
yes,
not moving.
Yeah, yeah.
Conscious, whatever reason.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So can you explain how the device generates and stores electricity then from sweat and how this differs from other technologies? Oh, you've mentioned that. How does it actually work? How does it actually generate the power? What's it using in the sweat? Which chemicals?
Yeah, we're using chemicals. We're using the biofuel cells is working at the one anode, one cathode. This is based on the electrochemistry. And there are different sides from the oxidation to reductions. They get the potentials of the cells. And once they are working, though, you know, to using the fuels to have the chemical reactions, they can continue to generate, translate to the electronics, electrons to give the current continuous power. So that's the things we're working on. We do this kind of biofuel cells. Your sweat always get this kind of lactase or this kind of things, right? This kind of the biofuels compound. And also we have the oxygens, right? And that's things you can directly continuously to help our device to generate the powers and make the all systems automatic, the self-powers yep. device here.
So is it consuming as much as it's making, or is it making extra? Because I think you've got some batteries on the, some micro batteries on the actual device. Is that right, to store power? Or is it just generating?
Yeah, this is a continuous generating. Once you get the sweat sampling to the biofuel cell, the energy generation is always ongoing. And all the generated powers can be stored into another integrated energy storage module. And this is our design flexible battery. And the batteries can continue the storage, the energies for further use.
Yeah. Okay. So it is in profit, really. When it's making energy, you're getting more than you need. So theoretically, it could be used to power other things then.
It's also based on the designs, based on the size. The biofuel cells are also related to, you know, how the size, the chemistries, everything you're working on there. And the bigger size will get the bigger, the higher energy. And that's where definitely more than the things you're using to power the electronics. And the current technologies for the electronics, you know, some of them is very low power, right? It's not, don't need too much the energy consumptions. We can get more energies and the more energy support for extending works or long-term work is more than you need it. But some of them, you know, it's based on the different individuals. Our energy collections is from the sweat. Yeah, different person have the different kind of sweat status and the energies. When, you know, energies, the MCU control, energy consumptions, energy collections, that's these things need to balance.
So if someone is doing exercise, they're sweating a lot. Overload the system or any exercise?
This is also the point we analysis for different the subject, different persons or different the exercise the conditions, right? And since we are focused on the fingertips to positive get the energies, you get the energies at the positive, the status where it gets very high levels of energy. Once you're doing the exercise, you get the more sweat. And some subject you can get maybe get more energies because you get more joules. But some of them, you know, with the continuous extended working exercise, the sweat generated lots of water, which dilutes your bad fuels, right? Yeah, the power is maybe going down a little lower than before.
That makes sense. And obviously, sweat has salts and things in it. Can that potentially damage the circuitry over time?
Since we designed our materials, our biofuel cell, everything is based on to give it some kind of protect the capping layer, everything. And also we stabilize the enzyme, stabilize the electrodes for a while. All the testing we working on mimic the sweat conditions. We have the PBS, we have the salts, we have the electrolyte in there, right? And everything is can work very well. It's working under the sweat conditions. Yeah.
All right, great. So how does the accuracy of the fingertip sweat monitoring compare with more traditional methods like blood tests?
Oh yeah. The accuracy is a very important part. Yeah, this is very good questions. And you know, for the accuracy of the monitoring the biomarkers, we also compare with the wearable device to some commercial device like glucose. We validate together. We detect all the biomarkers level from sweat, and also at the same time, we using the CGM or the glucose meters to testing the level in the blood test. Right, the blood test result is the match with our result. That is the things for us to propose. Our sensors is benefit in the future is show the promising to compare to the traditional. The blood testing can help for you guys for the continuous healthcare. And also, yeah, as we know, the biomarkers maybe have the difference in the concentration difference in between the sweat and the blood, right? So we also, this is the next step, the aims we try to make the different biomarkers, you know, and even though they have the different condition, different concentrations between the sweat and blood, we try to monitor everything and the same correlations are trained, and to have the make sure that this is correct at the correct standards. Yeah,
yeah, that's definitely the benefit of it. So blood test is a snapshot in time, right? You take the sample; it's only accurate really at the time.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, you've got continuous monitoring. Yeah, it's more useful really for monitoring someone's health, really. Otherwise, you'd have to somehow be testing the blood constantly, wouldn't you? In a machine, something attached to your arm that's constantly monitoring your blood. But that would be a bit disgusting. So what primary biomarkers does your device currently track? Why were these particular ones selected or chosen?
For the biomarkers, the fingertip device we use is now to focus on, you know, like the glucose, lactate, vitamin C, these kind of the biomarkers. These are what chosen because they are very significant in the metabolized process. And they always changing based on, you know, physical activities or any kind of lifestyles, after you take meals, sleeping, and also the doing some of the runnings, working, will change some kind of levels, right? And also, this is related to, you know, the guy's fitness, stress, and some kind of the metabolic functions. And we think this is the basic things we can start from that side to testing. Also, you know, the biomarkers related to some disease, right? Like we discussed before, the glucose is very important for the diabetes populations, right? And this is how the medical meanings. And also we also test other kind of biomarkers. That is like the medicines you really take is for treating the different kind of disease. Like here, we test the levodopa. That is one kind of the medicines can treat is for the Parkinson's disease. Okay, so all the biomarkers we select down here is just on demand. Actually, it's related to some kind of the generals, the healthcare, but. The biomarkers for our sections is flexible to adjust it, right? It's based on our sensor technologies. So we can develop the different kind of things, to match the specifics, the requirement.
So in theory, you could track any biomarker then?
It's hard for me to see all the biomarkers, right? Yeah, it's continuous the way for us to develop the different, whatever is from the sensor technologies, the chemistry technologies, and based on the materials, everything's, to enhance the different biomarkers, the sensing methods make it much easier, much the accuracy. Yeah. And for the some kind of basic biomarkers, right? Yeah, the very important few kind of biomarkers, this is the easy way for us to do, like the uric acid, some kind of creatinase.
Okay. So what you perceive this device being used primarily for healthcare, then monitoring of health for healthcare, or could it be used more casually just for people interested in their diet and whatnot? Am I making any sense? Is it going to be more for medical care or for
healthcare? Yeah.
What else?
Yeah, that's yeah. I think this is we do everything so it's on demand. I mean, as all you mentioned, everything's the different the hands, different the different the aims. We can based on that to design our the sensors. Yeah.
Okay. So could you explain more about the biofuel cells and the was it microfluidic channels used in the device? How do they work together to power and analyze sweat, or the biomarkers in sweat?
Yeah, the biofuel cells in the device, as we discussed a little bit before, is directly convert the chemicals, you know, the biofuels things in the sweat to into the electrical the energies. And this is the biofuels is from the lipid, from the oxygen in here, right? And it is empowering the sensor system. And for the microfluidic channel, I think that this is much related to the much responsible for the directing the sweat to the different sensor zones for the sensing, right? And also, that's based on the microfluidic channels, we can directly track the sweat and from the fingertip to continue moving forward and use to let the old sweat be replaced by the new sweat. And so that's the things we can directly test in the biomarkers at real time, right? This is do not have too much the crosstalk or the wrong data based on the old to hard for distinguish the old and the new sensors and sensor signals. And based on the unique things from the paper-based microfluidic channels, yeah, we integrated the microfluidic channels and also the biofuel cells in the device. The finally make it totally automatic, the self-powers, to have the both power generations and to support the MCUs, the MCU to control the sensor works based on the paper-fluidic channel and make it very, you know, the compact device on the finger and also, you know, detect the biomarkers at the real time.
Okay, yeah. So it's important to know then, it obviously sampling the sweat. The sweat's not constantly passing through the sensors, through the device, right?
Yes, right? Yeah. Yeah, this is the microfluidic channels, the functions, yeah.
Yeah, so you're taking a little bit off to analyze and then, yeah, I understand. Gotcha. We kind of mentioned already some applications. What other potential applications you see for this technology beyond health metrics that you've tested so far? In the future.
Oh yeah, beyond the tracking the health metrics, such like for glucose or vitamin levels, these technologies could be extend to monitoring the health status of some patients, right? Like we did discuss before. We think that glucose is much related to the diabetes, the populations, right? This is very important thing. This is big market. And also the current technology has lots of limitations. We try to help the patient to detect themselves and for the healthcare is at very comfortable the situations. And also some kind of the others, health status like the fitness related to the related to the lactate, right? So that's any kind of things we are working on is we try to focus on this kind of the biomarkers for futures. The healthcare related develop the device also for sport, exercise, any kind of the things also related to lactate. This should also have a huge market for the future. And also for the potential of the normal healthcare, I think this is opens a lot of the possibilities for the personalized health monitoring and the some kind of the medicines you take as you want to mirror some kind of the metabolites you are taking, you want to checking the levels. Yeah, we can do any kind of things. Yeah, you hear.
Presumably, it's not limited to just the fingertip. You could modify it for anywhere on the body, I presume, on the skin.
So and based on this, the passive the sweat collections method, we can do any kind of the place on the body. But usually, the sweat levels, the biomarkers in the sweat levels, we think that this should be the same on the different on the different locations. The fingertips should be very a good place for us to easily to collect the sweat. Yeah, because of the high density of the sweat gland in there. Yeah.
Gotcha. So what happens with the sensor readouts then? Does it have to be wired up to an external computer or something to actually visualize the data or what? How do you get the sensor data to something to analyze?
This is also some kind of potential works that we are working now. And we integrated, we tried to involve the AIs, the machine learning technologies in here. And also with the big data and kind of things, we try to monitor the biomarkers and also to distinguish the biomarkers, the sensor levels, the accuracy, and also try to make the correlations between the different kind of biomarkers with the bodies, the daily lifestyles, right? And finally, to analyze the very meaningful results that can help you, help the doctors, helps, for the treatments, for any kind of the actions help you to improve your body health.
So presumably in the future, you could have it connected to an app, phone app, or connected directly to the internet somehow.
Yeah, at the current stage, we already developed the phone app and all the sensor data, so it directly shows on the app. But this is only based on the signals, right? And like some guys didn't have the biomedical the background, that we can't directly read the water levels, that means any kind of things. And we think that's kind of the signals where can the future directly transfer to the hospital, to the doctors, right? That's just give very useful the on-time feedback to help you, to help any kind of the patient.
Yeah, I mean, you've done the hard work.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Summarizing it, dumbing it down a bit should be a lot easier. Again, we've touched on this, but how does the device maintain power during minimal or no physical activity, like when the user is asleep?
Oh, yeah. So since this energy harvesting system is very passive, right? All the things is just passive to get the sweat, and the sweat can automatically generate the power based on the BFC. So whatever you're doing, the physical activities or not, right? You can continue to get energy. Yeah, like you mentioned, in the sleep, everything that can be very, very, very general, the situations for to continue to gather sweat. Gather sweat and gather energy.
Yeah, you're sweaty all the time, right? So it's not a time limit sweating unless you're dead.
Yeah. And also we discussed before, like sometimes when you do very strong exercise, for different kind of subject, maybe you get more sweat and dilute the biomarkers, dilute the biofuels, right? Maybe reduce a little bit for the energies, right? It's not everything's good for our device.
It might sound like a stupid question, but I presume it wouldn't work if you're swimming.
This is the point. For the swimming, definitely we're affected for the energies, for the sensors, right? If we want to do that kind of things to working under the water, that's maybe need some of the protector covers to block the extra outside waters related to your sweat, to keep his everything accuracy. So,
theoretically, you could do it. Can you seal gloves or something?
Yeah. You can wear gloves that seal it. Can be helpful this year.
Yeah, that makes sense. With the possibility of customizing the biomarkers it detects, how easy is it for the device to adapt to different health conditions or user needs?
We believe the device is designed with lots of the flexibilities that can adapt to, different biomarkers based on the needs, the user's needs, and also target for specific health conditions. This adaptability is facilitated through required, the sensor design, and also allows for the easy additions or modifications of the sensors to which we can change the sensor tabs, everything. for target the different biomarkers, different related to different the patient. Thereby we can, to develop the new things to focus on the different health conditions, different scenario, different user need. Yeah.
So are you limited to the number of sensors you can have on it, on the device, or is it more power limitation rather than a kind of spatial one?
There are some limitations also from the different side. The power side, we are limited things is, the sweat levels, the biofuels levels in the sweat. This is based on your bodies. It's not, you can't control that kind of thing, right? And also, only things is we can do is continuously increase the efficiency from the energy harvest device. And all the other things is the lifetime of the energy harvesting device in their time. In there, the biofuel cells is a metric based thing. And sometimes it's only can working for the 1 week or 2 weeks, right? And the efficiency is continually decrease based on the enzyme decrease. And yeah, there's some kind of limitations. We are trying to using some new material science, the innovations, the new catalyst to replace the enzyme as they are guaranteeing the high powers.
And presumably you could, in theory, you could have on every single finger. You could have different sensors on each finger recording different things. Is that right?
We can do all the separate the things on the different fingers. And we also can directly integrate everything in one finger. So we test everything to check is the biomarkers, the sensor signals, there doesn't have any kind of crosstalk with each other. If we don't have that, we can do everything integration.
Gotcha. So looking forward then, what would be the biggest challenges or limitations for scaling this thing up, scaling the technology up, or if you get there to mass produce it?
Oh, yeah. For the scaling up this technology for the mass productions, we need to at first to standard the sensor sensitivities and the specificities across the two different individuals, different patients, different conditions, working conditions are different, users, scenario, right? After sampling huge data, we want to make sure that is, it's really it have the very correct the sensor data related to the any kind of the peoples, the individuals, and that is the one important challenges we need to solve it. And also for the like we mentioned, for the energy substance, it's the long term stability for the biofuel cell. This is one point, and also other integrated other kind of the energy harvesters, energy collections method to boost the powers. Okay, this is also our options to try to make it much stable working extended times. Is we don't want to make it just working at a few weeks. We want to continue work at 1 year or something, right? This is another challenging thing. And also, like we integrated system is not only the energy harvestings and also sensor sections. We have the energy storage section. The batteries are always the big things for the world, right? Whatever on your phone, whatever is on other kind of the electric the device. For the same things for this one, the batteries we want to make is, it can wear long term charging discharging, and very stable. So it can be have the lifetime shelf lifetimes working under different kind of the discharge or the energy consumption's requirement. So we also reduce their kind of the side reactions, some things. Yeah, this is the point we need to solve these challenges. Yeah.
Okay, so you look into a crystal ball. Do you have any kind of time scale when this could become available in hospitals and things?
Oh, yeah. You're pushing me forward. Yeah, I think that we didn't set a timeline at the current stage, but since you asked these questions, I think that we need to focus on to make a plan for the timelines in the next few weeks. Yeah. Now 10 years is too long, so we try to make it as soon as possible.
All right, great. Interesting. Good luck. So on the same subject, what's your research group's next steps, particularly in developing, was it a closed loop system for monitoring and administering the treatments autonomously, like insulin for a diabetic or whatnot when they need it?
Yeah, for the next step, we have the different plans. First, like we mentioned, we want to solve the sensor sensitivity, sensors, stabilities, and the different scenario, right? This is the first that improve all the property from sensor sections. And also for the next step is what we want to integrate the sensor sections to with the treatment section. This is the closed loop system that you mentioned. And also we try to, you know, get different biomarkers that's related to much related to that kind of disease or that's kind of the user's requirement. And based on this biomarkers information, like we do for the glucose, we also need to test the insulin, right? And this all the things need to transfer or directly make decisions from transfer from digital health, like the doctors can directly get the information from your phone. And also, yeah, to make decisions how many insulin you need to dose it there. And also we can develop some kind of the electric artificial pancake, some kind of things to help you to have this sensor at the act, right? After sensing, you directly have the actions to using the artificial pancakes, dosing the insulins, continue monitoring the glucose, make sure everything's closed loop. Yeah, not only for the diabetes populations, other kind of biomarkers, other kind of the sensor technologies also related to different kind of the populations, like the elderly, like the infant. Yeah, that's all the things we try to do for the next.
Yeah, it'll be revolutionary, especially diabetics. That will save lives, wouldn't it? So
yeah.
Incredible.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
That's the end of my questions. Is there anything else you think we should talk about that we haven't discussed?
I think there's lots of very good questions from your side that we discussed a lot. The one point I want to mention is I think this kind of automatic system, we call this wearable microgrid. It's integrated automatic energy harvesting with energy storage, with a microcontroller system, and also on-demand wearable applications like the sensors, like other things. This kind of technology should be very important in the future. And we just do everything. You just put wear it. You don't need to do any kind of the exercise, any kind of things. You can directly get your whole body's healthcare thing. This is our aim. This is our future, you know, the plan for expanded their applications, much related to the clinic, much related to the next step, the treatment. And and we try to enhance to both the any sections from the, you know, the energy sections, the energy storage section, energy collecting section, storage sections, the board control sections, also with the sensors or other kind of wearable applications. Every place have the lots of challenges. Yeah, we hope in the future, whatever from our lives, we can continue to do lots of good things in the science, in the biologies, you know, for the also for the medical sections, integrate together, crosstalk, and also we boast this kind of the wearable microgrid technologies for the real practical applications on humans in the near future.
I agree. So is there any social media sites or YouTube channels or something you'd like to promote before we go?
So we want to promote like the LinkedIn, like the Twitter or something. So yeah.
Xi Chao, that was very interesting. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, nice talk with you.
That concludes this episode of Lexicon. Thank you all for tuning in and being our guest today. As always, follow our social media channels for the latest science and technology news. Also, don't forget to explore iAcademy for new courses. Goodbye for now.